Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on yet another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy. And as always, I'm bringing you an amazing show today. Now, you know what the program is. We're going to go ahead and introduce our guest. We're going to have an engaging conversation. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the show. Text someone, tweet someone, inbox someone, send them, tag everyone on Facebook. Let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're sharing the show and inviting everyone you know, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Miss Shelly Mache. She is going to talk to us about how purpose puts us in a better position for success. She is a certified life purpose coach, a speaker, and she's also a women's change agent. Good morning, Shelly. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Miss Sharifa?
I'm excited to learn more about you and what you have going on.
Yes, well, I'm excited to talk about it.
I love your energy. I love your energy.
You know, it is early where I am, so I'm really ready for a nap already. And I just got up about an hour and a half ago. It's a great day. Yes, a speaker, women's change agent, and I'm a life purpose coach. And one of the greatest things about being a life purpose coach is that I'm able to really help people tap in to where it is they're supposed to be. Everything that we need is within us. And when we learn and when we understand that living in purpose opens up the door for success in every area of our lives, then we're able to walk in greater happiness, greater joy, greater peace. When we live in purpose, that's really when life really starts, when we're able to live outside of ourselves, when we're able to see things outside of just the realm, that we're in. And so having an opportunity to understand who you are, who you've been created to be, who you've been created to serve, it puts you in a position for success. If I've been created emotionally, I'm not successful if I'm over here trying to be a race car driver, you know? So when I understand who I am and who I've been purposed to be and who I've been called to serve, then I'm able to walk confidently. I'm able to walk in purpose. I'm able to be a success because I know where I'm headed. I know what it is that I'm supposed to do. I know who I'm supposed to be helping. And so I'm not frustrated. I'm not always, well, let me not say I'm not frustrated, because sometimes purposes can be frustrating too.
Yes.
But when you know where you are, even in the frustration, pull back, take a breath, and come back. It's kind of like when I do conferences. I remember the first conference that I did. It was so stressful for me to do that conference, to pull everything together, to get the speakers, to gather the women. It was a stressful time. But let me tell you, as we got closer, and when the women came, and how the women were touched, and how the women were able to learn different things about themselves, how they were able to learn what their purpose was, what their identity was, and to live beyond their titles. As people, we live our titles a lot of times instead of living our purpose and living who we were created to be. We live out being a mom, we live out being a dad, we live out being an employee, and we never live out who we were created to be. And so when my conference came around and I began to see, yes, this is what I was designed to do. This is what I was purposed to do. It gave me that flow, that energy, and that charge to keep moving, even though maybe the steps of getting to it was a little bit frustrating. And so that is how your purpose leads to success. It's success in your joy. It's success in your happiness. It's success in your peace. It's success in your finances. And it's success in knowing how to network and how to build who you are. I could talk about that all day, Sharifa. You got other guests, girl. I could talk about that all
I can tell. I've been wanting to jump in and ask the question, but then you went on
Yeah.
for another
Jump
couple of
in,
minutes.
Sharifa. Jump in.
Now, I am going to introduce the other guests, but I have one quick question for you, because you used the example of the race car driver. And I felt like I heard what you were saying, because I've been laid off 8 times. And I always tell people, yes, girl, yes. I always tell people that I went through all of that so I can get to where I am now. But when I was going through it, it's like, okay, I know that this is not it. This is not where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
And sometimes we wind up in those other situations like, okay, why am I driving race cars when I know this is not what I'm meant to be?
Yes. What happens is people think that purpose just drops in your lap. But just like what you said, there are a lot of no's and a lot of and a lot of that doesn't connect to who I am before we can find sometimes the things that connect. I always encourage people, don't run away from the no. Don't run away from the things that aren't working. Check that off the list to say, this is not what it is, but this is what I enjoy in it. So no, I'm not supposed to be a race car driver, but there's a certain type of adrenaline that I enjoy. So maybe adrenaline and that type of activity like is a part of my purpose. Let me keep that on the side and see when I do my next thing, do those things connect again? Because maybe that's a part of my purpose.
Absolutely, Shelley, I'm gonna come back to you. I wanna go ahead and introduce our next guest who does something a little bit similar. She doesn't help people find their purpose, but sometimes what they enjoy to do, what they do becomes their purpose when you work with Miss Sarah Rogo. She is known as Rogo the Wild, someone that I believe the world hasn't been able to tame. She's a musician. She focuses on artistry. She's an artistry coach, and she is reshaping the music industry. We're also going to talk about her podcast, Alchemy Through Artistry. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing really well this morning. I'm not as tired as I thought I would be. given the pandemic, you know, I've been going to bed nice and early. I've been taking naps during the day. Like, what?
I thought that was just me.
I know. I'm actually healing my body bit by bit. So there are definitely silver linings. But similar to Sherry, I kind of like to consider myself like a life coach for artists. And artist doesn't necessarily have to mean a guitar player, singer, which is that's what I am. It could be a sculptor, a painter, a business woman or man, because artistry is within all of us. And I truly believe it's our birthright to be an artist. And anyone is an artist and can be an artist of all types. So I had this revelation of wanting to do this work. I went through 4 years of a prestigious, rigorous music school. And I learned a lot. And I became a professional musician, touring around the world, et cetera. But I realized I learned more about like myself, my voice, my instrument, my artistry within 1 month of yoga teacher training. And it dawned on me that, you know, artistry is just so much more than technique. So I really, my whole life, I've been doing music, but I've also been dabbling in esoteric arts and Eastern arts and sciences. So in my coaching and in my podcast and my practices, I talk a lot about the esoteric, the subtle body. With my students, I'll do Qigong, energy work movement. I'll do journaling with blockages. I'll do problem solving, brainstorming, meditation, and finding a way to bridge kind of the two worlds. Because I know as a musician, the world is pretty dark. I'm in the music business, and right now I'm going through a really tremendous legal battle, which I don't need to go into, but it's a lot of it is take from the artists and especially the woman. And I just want to create kind of like a better world within the industries of art and business by bringing like the esoteric and the mindfulness into it and the spirit back into the art, and then teaching people that they are artists no matter what.
No matter what their profession is, what does that look like to you to bring that esoteric into the music?
I think it just depends on the individual and it depends on the situation. You know, it's about a language. People with coaching clients will will reaffirm this, that everybody kind of has a particular conversation language, a love language, so to speak. And some people might be very, I'm not gonna say like traumatized, but very put off by like oming. So maybe I'll do some other type of even humming or just focus on the breath or movement. Whereas some people, I will talk about subtle energy pathways and prayer and ritual. So I think it really depends on the individual. And I lead by intuition. I read energy and I just really honor the person as an individual. But I think as a collective, bringing the spirit and the esoteric back to the art is exactly what Shelley was saying about your purpose and your intention. It's like, if I don't want to be a touring artist within music, but I still want to play music, I can write music for TV and film, or I can play music to kids. You know, there's so many different things that you can do within your artistry, and you don't have to follow that exact formula that the world is telling you, like music school is telling you have to do, or just the movies are telling you have to do. I don't have to, sell myself to Hollywood and to a lot of the evil men that want to take from women. Like, I don't have to do that. So it's like knowing
sell our souls to the evil men who want to take over the world. Yeah. No offense to Vivek. We'll speak to him shortly. But I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, because we've been talking a lot about empowerment and women's empowerment. And when we get to a certain age, we often believe that we are set in our ways, our careers, what it is, or whatever our lifestyle is. Maybe we've been a stay-at-home mom, a stay-at-home wife, and maybe we want to change our lives. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Seppi Tabibian. She hit Refresh. That's her company. She hit Refresh. Seppi focuses on starting a business late in life. And when you see this young lady, you're going to ask the same question I asked. How is this late in life? Good morning, Seppi. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on. Yes, I'm going to dig into that. So yeah, I founded She Hit Refresh in 2017, and it's a community for women aged 30 and over who want to change their life in a big way through travel. And basically what that means is women who want to move abroad or quit their job and travel long term. And so I started this because I did this myself. In 2015, I moved from Austin, Texas to Madrid, Spain. I left a great job. I had a good life, but I felt like my good life was getting in the way of a great life. I just wanted something more. And so I kind of just put it all behind, found a tenant, sold my car, packed up my bags, and moved to Madrid without knowing anyone and reinvented myself. And so my community helps women who want to do that as well. And that's where the idea came from, just having friends asking me, how did you do that? How did you know what to do? Were you scared? What about your career? What about meeting someone? What about kids? All of these conversations that were coming up, when I looked online, there just weren't resources for this to turn them to. And so I created a community that has now grown to over 6,000 women around the world that we help who want to make a big change in life through travel. And so when I moved here in 2015, I was 35. Now I'm 40. And it's been a great ride. And part of my discovery, you know, moving abroad, I came here, taught English in Madrid, and wanted to figure out what my own purpose was. So when Shelley was talking about finding your purpose, moving abroad allowed me to play with my identity and my interest in a way that I couldn't do in the US. And I discovered my calling was to help other women do what I did. And so just a few years ago, I started my own business at 37 years old.
Congratulations. And like I said, when I saw the bio, I said, I'm expecting this senior, this gray-haired little old lady, senior citizen, coming out talking to me about starting a business later in life. And I'm like, I see Seppi, and I'm like, Seppi, is that, I don't know. I'm not making a connection, but I do have two quick questions for you. Number one, why Madrid? And number two, how many people said you were crazy?
Why Madrid? You know, it's just, I don't know if anyone has ever had that feeling, but traveling the world, Madrid just felt like home. There was something here, the energy in the city, that just felt very familiar. And I had been here prior, and I just knew I wanted to move to Madrid. So that's why Madrid. Also, Spain is an amazing country. to live in. How many people thought I was crazy? You know, a lot of coworkers did. You know, a lot of people who are on the conventional path thought this was a wild idea and thought it was something that you do when you are in college, you know, when you're a gap year student. They couldn't understand how someone in their mid-30s wanted to make this big change. And so, you know, while 30 is relatively young, I mean, we work with women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and even 70s who want to hit refresh.
She said 30 is relatively young, but 40s, 50s, I'm 44, right? So I'm taking a little, I need you to go start at 60 or something, like start a little bit higher for me, at least in my presentation, because I'm feeling a certain kind of way right now.
Me too.
40s is still young. I just joined the club and I feel so young. So 40s is still young.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Starting late in life.
Great club.
Thank you. Let her know, Shelly. Let her know.
40s, wonderful club.
Zeppi, you also have a podcast. Let's talk about your podcast.
Yeah, so the podcast is also called She Hit Refresh, and it's where we dive deeper into the conversations that we're having in the community. So we just launched season 3, and my co-founder and I, you know, we had conversations, some really tough conversations. She is still in the U.S. in Austin and wants to move to the U.S. And we talk about things about, you know, why do we get stuck in life? Why can't she get out of there? What's so hard about that? Talk about, you know, dealing with parents who are aging and how that may limit us or how that's an extra responsibility that we have. We talk about grief. We talk about real world problems that we're dealing with. We talk about dating, what it's like to be a woman in your 40s. Do we want to get married? Do we want to have kids? How do we feel about that? We talk about all of those things, you know, conversations that women want to have, and they may not have a space to talk about that. And in addition, another conversation that comes up a lot in the book is, how do I move to Europe? Americans want to move to Europe and they just can't figure out that leak of the visa, because it's great to want to go and there's so many great places, but if you can't get a visa, you can't move there. And I just launched a book on that called I'm Out of Here, an American's Ultimate Visa Guide to Living in Europe, to help people and show them, look, there's 16 countries that you can move to. It's pretty easy. And there's over 50 visas that can help you make that move. And we talk about that a lot on the podcast also.
Mm-hmm. I'm out of here November 3rd, just to let you know. Okay. I'm out of here. I'm going to come back to you, Zeppi. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Clive Rose. She also has an amazing story. She is the author of historical romance fiction. But what's so interesting is she often bases her characters on actual historical personalities. Good morning, Clive. How are you?
Good morning. It is very early here, and I appreciate being part of the Over 40 Club. I love my 40s.
There you go, Zeppi.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. We're all young on this platform today, so.
Yeah. I've refreshed my career at least twice, possibly more, in my life. So I had a birthday this week, so my age is topical for me right now.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell us about yourself.
Well, I am in my 40s. I have been writing for about 20 years, but for a lot of that time, nobody knew I wrote. I built a corporate career, quite a successful one. And you talk about purpose. It never really fit. It did not fit. It was like a badly made dress or something. And then my marriage came to an end, and that was 4 years in court. It wasn't good. And I found myself sitting there going, well, I've got this relative freedom now. What am I going to do with it? And I retrained because I had a young child, and I went into finance, something I'd always been interested in. And that was interesting, but again, it didn't really fit. So I decided to get my old manuscripts out and see if any of them were any good. So I went to a conference and I pitched to a publisher, and they bought it. So I wrote my book, and I come from a marginalized background myself. And I don't know, it always bothered me that a lot of those people were people like I have a Jewish ancestry. They're just not in the Jane Austen books. And I thought, but they were there. I know they were there. My family were there. Other people were there. And so I started looking for people records, and there wasn't a lot to work with, but I found some, and I made my stories about that because that's what interests me. That's what moved me. So in September, Always a Princess was released, and the sequel is in edit now, and there's another one coming, and I keep getting asked to write more, so I'm doing it. And this is like my third career. I hope it's the last, because it feels like home. This feels like home for me, writing all the time. It's interesting because what Shelley was saying about purpose, and it feels like artistry, but it also feels like the only thing I can really do, you know.
Like when I watch you, it feels like it's very emotional to you. Like I can almost feel you like kind of living or reliving like everything that you're doing and looking at what you used to do and looking at that corporate life and go, you know what? This is home. It just resonates as home for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think back, it's like it happened to someone else. It's like a book I used to read my old life. I read it, I closed the cover, I put it away, and I don't even know where it is anymore. People ask me questions and I'm like, I can't remember it. And I was retrenched from that job in May, and then I got the book contract, and I'm like, okay, there's a little feeling of destiny here. I'm not a big believer in that, but I'll take it.
We're going to ask Sarah about destiny. That's one of her favorite topics, I'm pretty sure. Claude, I'm going to come back to you, but I just want to bring our next guest into the conversation, Mr. Vivek Sharma. He is the CEO and co-founder of his own gourmet fruit company, and he explores the connection between luxury and nature. Good morning, Vivek. How are you? We still have you on mute, sir. Got to get Vivek back into the conversation.
Hi, good morning, Sharifa, and thank you for inviting me over. It's again very interesting to see such a diverse and type people in the conversation. I'm a food industry professional, and I worked for almost 25 years. And most of it is at a very senior level in the food industry. And I traveled all around the world. We tried different things, we do different things. And eventually, all are talking about their age. It's 30s or 40s. To me, it's very young. I have grown up kids. And at the age of when I crossed 50, then I realized that I need to utilize my experience to do something better, healthier. At this time, what everybody is talking about is healthy food. And most of people, everybody wants healthy food, but nobody kind of understand it fully that what's a healthy food, because there's so much technical terms, so much jargons in the food industry. So my objective was to get something delicious, healthy, natural, and that made me to come to California. And I'm in the Central California, which is a kind of, it's all farms here, it's all dried fruits, it's all nuts, it's all apricots, figs, and dates, and almonds, and pistachios. So what I do is I assemble these products and make them as a gourmet offering, very natural, no chemicals, nothing, absolutely. That's the sole objective. It's a very purpose-driven company. So I don't know how commercially successful this company is, but yes, the purpose is pretty much defined. And what we do is we make very nice gourmet delicious offerings for everybody, which appeals to everybody. And that's what we create here. And we try to create it with everything what's available naturally. And most of it is from the region. The Central California is a fruit basket. So, and the second lesson, which I think it just occurred to me that everybody's just talking about the age, it's a number. I have grown up kids, and I'm starting now. It's just 2 years. I just started. So it's just a number, absolutely. I have the same energy. Absolutely. I have the same energy what I had 25 years back when we started the corporate life.
Absolutely. Age is just a number. I don't know how I do it. I don't know how we do it as a collective, but it always seems to be a theme. And today's theme seems to be purpose. We started off today discussing purpose. One of the things that Vivek just said is that he doesn't know how commercially successful it's going to be, or it is, but his goal is to provide healthy food, healthy fruit, with no chemicals. Shelly, I want, when you hear Vivek say he doesn't know how successful it's going to be, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, number one, that he's in the exact right place. And I'm excited about that, because we have to redefine what success looks like. Success is not just a financial aspect of it. So when he says he doesn't know how it's going to look commercially, what I hear is your heart is in it. The passion is there. You found your purpose. And success is going to be, that purpose is going to be what drives you to that success. And so you're already, yes, successful. And then everything that's attached, the money, the population, the word, the voice, the marketing, all that is going to come, because as you walk through that passion and purpose, you know where you're going, you know what you want. So you're going to be networking and connecting with those people who can take you to the next level. So the success is just the path that's following your passion and purpose.
Thank you, Shelly. Thank you. Such a thoughtful idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Thank you for that, Shelly. Sarah, we were talking about destiny. This might be Vivek's destiny. We don't know. What are your thoughts?
I think destiny is like an ongoing thing. I think destiny is every moment, and every moment we get to decide what our destiny is. And I think our decision should be based on passion, like passion and following the FES, so to speak, you know, just what feels so truthful in the body, because that's one thing I'm really adamant about, is tuning in mindfulness. When there's a red flag in something, or there's a yes in something, you feel it in certain parts of your body, just as you feel when you eat a healthy piece of fruit or food. When you eat that, your body says, yes, please, more. And we have to work on making ourselves more clear and open to those yeses and those nos, you know. But so every moment's a moment of choosing destiny.
That is so beautiful. I see you shaking your head, Clive. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm nodding. I hear that. I'm very big on energy and how it feels and if this is the right path. And honestly, everyone, ever since I was retrenched from my job mid-year, everyone's been on my case to get a real job. And I'm like, I work so hard. I just don't have a real job. But, you know, I'm writing, I'm editing, I'm doing the PR for the book.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. I just want to make sure I'm clear. Are people still giving you a hard time, or this is something they gave you a hard time about months ago? Because I'm ready to call these people up and talk to them personally and tell them I said to leave you alone. Because you said that your manuscript just got picked up. Do you know how many lifetimes people have to live before somebody's manuscript actually gets picked up, or they do years and years of self-publishing different books and nobody notices, and you come out easily right out the bat with a successful book and people are like, get a real job. One of the things that my dad told me, and I have to work with it sometimes, after I was laid off and I started working full-time on my company, my dad said, you have to change your mindset from thinking unemployed to self-employed. And I was like, you know what, Dad? That's right. So Clive, you are self-employed. So you have a job. You don't need to get a real job because your job is real. Tell her, Seppi.
Yes, 100%. I mean, the women in my community, a lot of them are leaving the conventional work world, and people around them, their communities, their families, their friends are questioning if that's a really good idea, especially later in life. And we talk about that in the community, like, what does success mean to you? For a lot of the women, they are ready to leave that rat race, climbing the career ladder. They're not chasing success from a financial standpoint or for a title. For them, success is really being able to live the life they want to live. And for them, you know, they want to leave that all behind to live a life that has a lot more purpose in it. So I'm 100% with that. And I always say it's never too late to make those decisions. It's not that you have a window that you have to, you know, make that decision. And if you should go down the conventional or not, you can do that at any point in life. And you should honor that within yourself. If there's something in you that is constantly coming back to you and telling you, like, I've always wanted to write. I have that book in me. I want to get out. But for me, it was like, I just want to live abroad. It's like, honor that, because that is a sign. That is something that is calling you that needs to be expelled.
That's similar to what Shelley was saying. Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just saying.
Similar to what Shelley is saying, it's just like we're working on breaking just the stigmas and roles, you know, within society.
I think when the people are trying to pull, well, me back, I can feel their fear. And it's their fear that they want me to respond to. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I get that you're scared for me and around me and about me. And that's because you care. But that fear is yours, not mine. I have plenty of fear of my own that I have to, I call them head demons, those little naysaying voices. And I'm like, I'm a writer, and some of the stuff I write is a bit paranormal fantasy. So I'm like, give me my sword, I'll take care of my own head demons, but I'm not going to take on yours. You deal with that. And if it makes you uncomfortable that I'm not sitting in a corporate office, not that anyone in Australia is doing that anymore. I'm sorry, you can have to deal with your own head demons. They're not mine.
I hug you. I'm sending you a virtual hug. I'm sending you light and love and everything. I just really do. Shelley, you were going to say something, I believe.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I hope I have it right. I think it was Stephanie. Oh, I'm sorry if I have that wrong. I was going to say I wanted to piggyback on the fact that there's never a wrong time. It's never too late to try to walk in that path and discover who you are. And she was talking about, you know, if something has been on you for so long, that's something you want to look into. Especially as women, we push those things aside. We're like, yeah. I've always wanted to bake. I've always wanted to have a bakery. And then we become 35, 40, 45, and we say, well, you know, that's for when I was young. You know, if I was younger, or this would take so long, or this, guess what? If it takes you 10 years, if you're 45 and it's going to take you 10 years to start that business, guess what? 10 years is still going to pass no matter what. So you're still going to be 55 in 10 years. Why not walk out the passion, the purpose, the desire that you have and see where it takes you? The only thing that's going to be wrong about it is if you don't step out and try it. That's it. We're so afraid of getting the no. We're so afraid of things not working that we sabotage the possibility that it will.
Absolutely. And another thing on that same aspect that we tend to do is to not believe that we can earn a living. And it's especially artists, because a lot of artists don't get recognized until after they passed on. Or people in general, we feel like, okay, this is just a passion project. And I don't deserve to earn a living from it. One of the things that I often talk about on the show is I have a cousin, very successful. He's actually a news reporter in Columbus, Ohio. Successful. But when he was 9 years old, when he was a kid, he used to walk around the house with a spoon and interview all of us. You know, that was his thing as a kid. And so we always knew this is what he was going to do. He's not one of those people that all of a sudden found his way. So I always talk to people about, what is it that you've always done? And I've always wanted to be one of those people who knew, I always wanted to be a doctor. I always wanted to be a lawyer. I never knew what I wanted to do, but I'm a talk show host. And I was always that kid that was always talking. I just talked. And my mom was like, girl, if you say one more word, just, I was like, but why, mom? But why? But why?
My kid would like that. You would like her. She wants to be a lawyer.
She's always asking questions.
But we forget that. We forget that, Sharifa. When we get to living our titles, we forget that when we were young, we enjoyed just running in the rain. And we forget that, oh, there's things that are attached to just something as simple as running in the rain. How did it feel? What is that connected to? Because we learn as we get older, there's responsibilities. That's, you know, leave that for kids. You're 25 now. This is what you should be doing. And so we begin living out those titles, and we literally forget the simple things that excited us And those are the things a lot of times that are connected to our peace, our passion, and our purpose.
Yes. Vivek, are those connected to your peace, your passion, and your purpose?
Yeah, pretty much. I would like to add a very different note here. Whether we are self-employed or we are working for somebody, basically in both the cases, we are self-employed. People who work for the companies, if they like what they're doing and they grow with it and they're involved in it, that's pretty much self-employment. For some people, self-employment is a different meaning, but I take it that way, whether you're employed by yourself or by anybody else, as long as you like what you're doing, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Do you like what you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. I've been enjoying even my professional career as working for somebody. I worked as if it's my own, so it's a passion.
That means you take more pride in it. You would absolutely do the same thing for someone else's company that you would do for your own company.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes.
So your gourmet fruit, where can we obtain some of your gourmet fruit?
I don't have any store, physical store, but it's available online. And that's, I have my online portal. And we do have very exciting recipes for the winters. Now very exciting time for all of us. It's a fall, it's a Christmas time, and it's Hanukkah. So there are so many things coming up now. So we have online store, which is a very difficult name. So probably you can, I can dispel it very slowly. For it's called LAUMIERE GOURMET. It's a Lumiere Gourmet, LumiereGourmet.com.
Yes. So it sounds fancy.
Yes. So, and I'm sure people will, I'm getting very, very good reviews about it. I'm
really happy. Good reviews are important. What kind of reviews are you receiving on your book, Clive?
So far, good. I need more reviews. Apparently, if you don't have, you need 25 reviews to have Amazon's algorithm push you up the list. But I'm pleased. I know I've got more reviews coming because the books are in the hands of reviewers at the moment. I'm going to hold it up if that's okay. But it's interesting because in a lot of romance writing, we have
Clive. I don't mean to cut you off, but that's what I tend to do here at the Roundtable Talk Show. You shy, aren't you, Clive? We gonna need that book bag. You just, this is what you do. Clive held her book.
Said,
this
oh,
is
no, right here. I'm not shy. I promise. I'm really not. It's interesting because one of the biggest, most important, one of the most important things that when you're writing, romance is a formula, basically, romance writing. They have a formula. And one of the most important things is the moment where the hero and the heroine, or if you're heroine, or if you're doing same-sex romance, whatever, is where they change their purpose. The other person becomes a part of their purpose. And it's the journey that they go on is interesting. But the fact is that for a lot of the story, especially mine, because it's historical and it's written in a time where people were much more, were felt much more pressured by social mores and societal codes than we do. Although, frankly, I think that those codes are always there. I don't think there's ever a time people don't feel pushed and pulled by the world around them and have to fight to give their internal soul a little bit of space. It's about choosing self-empowerment over giving up that power to the world around you. I think that's a big part of everyone's romance with themselves, is choosing you. And living your purpose is about choosing you and all the voices around you and going, yeah, you've all got your opinions, but can you shut up and back off? This isn't about you. And that's a really hard thing to do, especially with family and colleagues or ex-colleagues looking at what you're doing and going, but no one in their right mind. I'm like, yeah, then I'm just crazy. Okay. Call me crazy. I'm happy. Are you happy?
Sarah, have you ever been called crazy? I saw those eyes.
I've been called crazy. Well, I mean, okay, so honestly, even as an artist who or a human who has some type of new or innovative idea, or honestly, being a woman, a lot of the times, especially being a woman artist, like especially for speaking your boundaries, and especially within the music industry, I'm dealing with, you know, right now I'm dealing with a certain man that I have to create boundaries with, a music industry professional, and, you know, turns out true colors show, and he calls me crazy and delusional and all this stuff. And, you know, when I was, you know, 5 years ago, I would have been so beaten down by that, but now I'm just like, huh, you know, but I think that's a part, it's almost like, you know, you're doing it right if like you're triggering some people in a certain way, right? It's like, you know, I mean, whether it's like my artistry coaching or my music industry ideas or even my music itself, there's always going to be people who are so intimidated by me, whether it's the things I'm saying or whether it's my talent, and they're always going to try to take you down because that's their ego, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Seppi.
Yeah, I think that's why it's so important for those of us who want to live outside the box, outside of the conventional life, to find a community where you can find people who are going to empower you, who do not say that you're crazy, who actually build you up and echo what you're saying. For us, I know for She Hit Refresh, what makes it a magical place is that a woman can come in there, you know, 47, wants to leave her job and do something that she thinks is crazy and that everyone in her life is telling her is crazy, and see thousands of women who are doing what she wants to do. And she realizes, oh, just my community doesn't do this. That doesn't mean that this isn't done in the world. So whatever your path is, and with the virtual world and now, you know, online communities, you can always find somebody or community that is doing what you want to do. And once you step in there, it's so liberating and empowering, and it allows you to have a different perspective on what you want to do with your life.
So in your, in She Hits Refresh, do you have to have the travel aspect? What if you just wanted to get out of your corporate job and start your own business?
Yeah, so travel is the through line in it, but we have so many women in the community that want to just change their life, and it doesn't just have to be through travel. So there are women who maybe just want to move to a different city, or like you said, change careers. We have a lot of those women, a lot of corporate runaway stories, and women who maybe just want to do like van life. So it's not always just moving abroad or quitting your job. We also have women who are just entering a new phase of their life. Maybe they're recently divorced or they're empty nesters and they just have time on their hands and they want to chase a dream that maybe they've been sitting on for decades.
I love hosting this show. I get new phrases. Corporate runaway stories. I've never heard of a corporate, I know exactly what it means, yeah, but I've never heard that term in my life.
I'm proud to be a corporate runaway. I wouldn't run back three times my salary.
I think that's a new club. You know what I mean? Do you have t-shirts and mugs at She Hits Refresh?
We do, but they don't say corporate runaway. Now you've given me an idea.
That's right. Take it and run with it.
I need some royalties. I help with that vision.
Let's talk after the show.
That could be a good book. That's a book title and a band title and a little album.
I love that.
I'm on it.
Shelly, did you run away from corporate? Do you have a corporate runaway story?
You know, what's so funny is mine is really connected to, I think I was pushed away from corporate. Mm-hmm. I didn't really run away from it. I have an entertainment background, and what ended up happening is when I had my youngest daughter, I really wanted to be able to be home with her, because having my oldest daughter, I was always gone for so many hours, you know, with entertainment, that I just didn't want that for the youngest. So I made the choice to be at home, which is where all of this purpose development and finding out who I was behind titles came from, because once I left, I had no idea who I was. Those are very wonderful and important titles, but I had lost myself in there, and I had no idea of who Shelly was. And so I didn't necessarily run from corporate, but I did run to self, and I ran to who I was and who I was created to be. And once I found that, I ended up connecting, like finding that network of other women who were like, well, how did you find purpose? Or how did you begin to understand who you are? And that's where that wonderful network came from, and me being able to help other women do that same thing. So no, I kind of pushed my way out of corporate, but I'm going to take that corporate runaway too. And I'm going to attach it because I like it.
I like it too. We're going to work it into the show somehow. Sarah, are you a corporate runaway?
Me?
Yes.
You know, I was thinking, like, it's like, I've never had a job in corporate, but at the same time, I actually kind of had a job in corporate because about 3 years ago or so, 3.5 years ago, I signed to a record label. And granted, it wasn't like a major record label. So it's not as like corporate-y as a smaller one. But even so, I ran into a lot of things that restrict my freedom. And I'm just recently getting out of it, or working on getting out of it now, and realizing that I am kind of like a corporate runaway, because I want to break the system of this current record industry that's kind of crumbling and dying anyway with the streaming platforms. And it's basically really only taking advantage of artists right now. Mm-hmm. So I want to create more systems where artists can be sustainable and healthy. They can make money, and probably make more money than they would from a record label. Mm-hmm. And also be healthy and sustainable, and not have to submit to drugs and alcohol and things, just to keep themselves like going on just the cycle that's so broken. So in a way, I feel like I am a corporate runaway, you know, even though I've never worked a 9-to-5.
So what you're saying is that was the corporate structure that you were under. And because you learned in that corporate environment that you were in, you saw how it operated, and you want to create a different way of operating for musicians so that they're actually able to sustain their lives. I mean, when you look at artists like Toni Braxton, TLC, so many people who hit the heights of success and then had to declare bankruptcy because they earn very little money, you know.
Exactly. It's a crime. And now with social media and all this stuff, it's probably similar to authors and you know, different entrepreneurs, is that we can do so much self-promotion, publicity. I mean, look at all of us here, we're on publicity. I found you on helpareporter.com. You know, it's we can do so much ourselves if we're educated, but also we need to be educated on our worth, especially as artists, because I, you know, when I was 23, I thought I needed to be signed to a record label in order to make anything out of my life as an artist. That's not true. In fact, I am where I am because of it, but it really held me back in a lot of ways, and it created a lot of turmoil in my life and as a human being and as an artist. And I just want to preach to artists and, you know, entrepreneurs, that they don't have to completely sell themselves out. Or if they do, be very mindful about what you're signing and what you're getting yourself into in terms of partnerships. Follow red flags, really follow the yeses and the nos in the body, so you get into situations that ultimately honor your highest purpose. And mm-hmm. we need to remind ourselves that it's not, things are constantly changing, especially right now. So nothing is what you thought it was. So think fresh, mm-hmm. think fresh, because you get to create your reality. Like I'm an artist. I live in this beautiful, cute little Airstream. I travel around the world. I take coaching calls from my phone. I play music around the world. I also have a podcast. I have side businesses, and I'm really happy and I'm healthy. So there's just ways to do it that aren't conventional. And I think part of the main structure of that is letting go of the concept of fame and what we think that is and what we think that'll bring to us as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I'm just sitting there watching you. You've been watching, sipping your tea the entire show, and you look happy. And so if I was in a restaurant next to you sipping your tea, I'd be like, excuse me, I'll have what she's having. I don't know what's in that tea, but I want some of that
ginger
tea.
And magic.
Yeah, Shelley, was it just me? I mean, you know what I mean? Like when Sarah speaks, she says I'm happy, but you can tell she's
it's
happy.
Calming. Yes, it's calming. It's her being set where she's supposed to be. And she's not, here's the thing. When we stop chasing the money, we begin to walk into. When you're not, when money is not at the center of it, it's frustrating to chase money. Can anybody attest to that when it's just about, yes. Oh, let me make sure I make this much, or let me make sure that I do this many kids, let me make sure I sell this many books. Instead of you doing that, I'm not chasing the customers for my book. What I'm doing is helping people understand that there is joy in you finding who you're supposed to be. And when I express that message, because that's what's within me, then people come to me saying, hey, do you have a book? Hey, can we get a, you know, find out a little more? And the answer to that is, yes, I do have a book. And you can find it on Amazon, 70 Days of Happy. Life is better when you smile. But the thing is, when we stop running after that and we really begin to live in who we were created to be, all of the people that are supposed to network with us, all of the people who are attracted to what it is that we have, they are going to come because they're going to feel exactly what it is that you're your purpose to do, because it's what they're desiring. So yes, Sarah's over there laid back, honey, with her tea, enjoying the day. And, you know, and I'm sitting over here like, yes, yes.
You know, but also, I mean, and you can all attest to this too. It's like, I'm so happy, but being that true happy means that you have to confront your shadows and work with your shadows. Like just the other week, I was collapsed on the floor, sobbing and crying to God, like, please help me. But, you know, it's like, happiness is like an all-encompassing thing, and it joy is also meeting the struggles and the hard times and the darkness, because in order to truly follow our passion and our purpose, we have to meet the demons, right? We have to meet those. So it's like learning how to do that in a very mindful way, where we're not like attached to it and we just like view it, work with it, and like move back to joy, you know?
And you have to be able to move past. It's like I said earlier, finding purpose doesn't mean that there's no frustration. There are days, because that's life. That's just life. We're gonna hit our head sometimes. Everything is not gonna go well. But when you understand who you've been called to be, you can do that. You can lay down. I've laid down and boohoo cried, and then, you know, looked at the mirror and like, yeah, that was a real ugly cry. Okay, now I've released that. And what's the plan? You know, give me 24 hours to lay down. Boo-hoo. Now what's the plan for tomorrow? Mm-hmm. So all that works in it as well. None of those things should we say, oh, this shouldn't be, or I shouldn't have to cry, or there shouldn't be a breakdown. It is sometimes, but we know how to, as you said, gather those pieces, gather that joy, look to see what the ultimate purpose and where our peace is, and we're able to get up again, because it's about more than just that moment.
Yes, absolutely. And Sarah, I want to thank you, and Shelley, I want to thank you as well for both of you being so vulnerable and even saying that there were days and there were times where I cried my eyes out and bawled, because when we're looking at you, both of you, all of you, actually, we only see the happy. That's all we see. And so we're like, okay, well, their life must be perfect. They must not have any problems, any drama, any trials. Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's what people tend drama. To believe when we see so many happy people.
No, so much drama.
Yeah. Yes.
Drama everywhere. Drama city. Yeah. It's about letting things go. I don't think you can soar. Like, I always think of it like an eagle carrying a lot of heavy rocks. You got to drop stuff. You gotta let it go.
That's good right there.
And sometimes you let it go by crying it out. I remember after my divorce, I got sick. I got really, really sick. And I just had this sinus infection that went on for like 3 months. And one of my friends said, well, it's an interesting way to release him. Some people do it, you know, through going to gym and sweating. You do it through snot. Good for you.
yes, it's a whole lot of different ways. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let our audience know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Vivek.
I didn't get your question 100%. Just repeat your question. What do you say?
What do you want people to take away from you being here? What do you want to tell them?
I think I would add a very important point, and that comes from my experience also and from my passion also. Wonderful to have passion. And you mentioned about my favorite band, TLC also, and the fate of anybody for that matter. It's good to have passion. It's great to have passion. We all should live for passion. But a very important part of the whole thing is a very disciplined approach to it. And disciplined approach to your passion is what you enjoy the most. The passion should, we should be passion driven, a very systematic approach to it. And that's my take.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Sarah.
I mean, I guess the something that I would want people to take away is just trust yourself and trust your worth and understand that you are an artist in everything you do, whether it's a cup of tea or whether it's making an album or writing a book. And yeah, if anybody's interested in one-on-one sessions or coming to a retreat of mine, my website is rogothewild.com, or my Instagram is rogothewild, my Facebook's rogothewild, and in January I'll be leading a retreat in Nicaragua. And yeah, I just love to do one-on-one lessons with clients, and just so happy to help and assist anybody who might need it, whether they are a mother or a business person or a musician. And you can check out my podcast Alchemy Through Artistry and all the platforms, and just super happy to be here. Thank you so much for having us.
You are so welcome. Super happy to have you here. So Seppi, anyone in your community interested in going to Nicaragua?
Maybe, probably. So Sarah, come join the community and post it up.
I'm under 30, unfortunately, but soon.
Well, once you get on the cusp, come join us.
Okay.
Seppi, what do you have for us?
I just want to reiterate what I always say, that it's never too late for you to hit refresh. So if you have that dream you've been sitting on, just take action and make it happen. And for anyone who is serious or has just thought about moving to Europe, but just thought it was just like a crazy idea and could never happen, check out my book, I'm Out of Here. You got over 50 visa options to make it happen. And if you want to leave November 3rd, you got an exit strategy. Check it out on the website, shehitrefresh.com.
They can't leave until November 5th because I need to be the airport to be clear when I leave. I don't want to wait in line by everybody else. Clive, what do you have for us?
I have that love is a very, very, love is the most important power in the universe, I think. It's the strongest power. And not just love between lovers, but love for yourself as well, and make a difference to yourself. My book is Always a Princess. It's available on Amazon. It's historical Regency romance. And there's more information on my blog at www.cliverose.com.
Have to check it out. Thank you, Clive. Shelley, go ahead and take us out.
Yes, first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. And as it has been stated before, it is never too late. And that is what I want women to know. It is never too late to find your passion. It is never too late to find your purpose. It is never too late to find your voice. And in order to do that, we must first find self and what makes us joyful, what makes us happy, what gives us peace. And so on my website, which is shellymache.com, and I'll spell it because my name doesn't sound the way it's spelled, is Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y, Mache is M-E-C-H-E-T-T-E. You can download a free copy of my ebook, The 5 Daily Happiness Habits, because we need to create habits of happiness that's going to lead us to success. And also for those who may need a little clarity, helping them find what are those things that that help them create passion and purpose, you can also schedule a clarity call, a master clarity call with me on my website, shellymache.com. So every day that you wake up It's a gift. Give yourself the gift of you and knowing who you are and who you were created to be. And again, please connect with me on my website or on Instagram under my name. I like to keep it simple.
Yes, I have truly enjoyed having you all here today as a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show. So I want to thank you. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching this show in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you are not important. We still appreciate you. We appreciate your comments. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you sharing the show. Just because it wasn't live doesn't mean you can't share it. Whether you're watching it 4 days from now, 4 months, or 4 years from now, it doesn't matter. Please go ahead and share this show with your friends, your family, and your network. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to the New Year, New You 2-day teleconference I'm holding on December 29th and 30th this year, we can help you in our sessions to be a better you, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show. Whatever it is, visit my website at asharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.